I mean, God parked him, and I'm sure he'll end up in heaven. But it was not a good relationship, mm-hmm. and it was one that needed to be put down.
Yes.
It needed to be. And, you know, sometimes it is painful to walk away from some of these associations because it's part good, but it's also part bad. And that means you need to really look at it. And some of you that are listening to this message today, you need to take inventory of all your friendships and say, now, am I contributing here to that other person? And bottom line, are we together a good combination? Are we both blessing each other in the Lord?
That's so important.
And if we're not, maybe we need to make some evaluations and maybe we need to make some changes.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:18-19 says, flee immorality. I mean, flee, run as fast as you can. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And that's why we're calling this second hour Honoring God's Temple, because actually your body is a temple. So you should really feel convicted when you pour wine down your body or you eat too much. And Darren, I do. Sometimes I've said to you, don't take me out to restaurants where we eat, you know, where there's one price buffet. I hate that. I mean,
wait a minute, though. I'm challenging you here. You could sit there and pray while I eat.
Okay.
That doesn't work, does it?
No, it doesn't. And so when there's a buffet or a cafeteria or something, I hate those places because you want to get your money's worth and it's just horrible. And you know what I'm talking about. So
get my money's worth and you can just sit there.
We want to keep our body holy unto the Lord. And that is so important to keep it holy. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:33 is where we have gotten this series from. Bad company corrupts good morals. And it starts here with, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Become sober-minded, serious about life, and stop sinning. For those who associate with you have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And he was talking to Corinthians there, Darren, whom were they were compromising and including some of the worship of Diana with some of the worship of God. And this doesn't work. We can't worship God and the world.
Okay. Now, let me put it in my context. A lot of times I'm not around people that are immoral. I'm not around them that are gluttons or wine bibbers or, you know, one of those obvious things. But many times, and I'm going to talk to some of you that are dreamers, to some of you that have high potential, and most of the people that you associate with have no drive. They have no dreams. They have no spunk. They don't want to get up and see their lives change. They don't want to be a contributor to the body of Christ in a very positive way. Mm-hmm. Now, they have the same Jesus you have, the same Bible that you have, and yet they are wasting their lives. Now, I'm going to hit you straight here. You need to get away from those people, because they will pull you down, and one day you won't be a dreamer either. Or maybe you say, you know, really, I have an entrepreneurial spirit, but most of the people that I'm around have no drive. They have no desire to take a chance. The risk factor in their life is non-existent. And let me tell you, if you're going to really make it with God, you've got to be a risk taker sometimes. You've got to be an entrepreneur. You've got to put it all on the line. You've got to keep your dream. And when we first got married, I told you, I said, nobody can steal my dream. Nobody, not even you. And even though I loved you with all my heart and I was committed to you, there is a part of me down inside that I will not sacrifice that part of me that is a dreamer.
Yes.
Because that's what keeps me going. And that's where achievement comes from. And that's where you acquire God's very best, is when you're willing to dream. And you see, we're made in God's image and likeness. And here we're talking today about honoring God's temple. Well, I want to tell you, we are made in God's image and likeness. He is a dreamer, if there ever was one. He has a wild imagination. If you look around, he created this whole earth and planetary system out of his imagination. And we have imaginations, and we're to use those. And I'll tell you, when people die inside, a lot of men die at 45, and they bury them when they're 75. So the last 30, 40 years of their life, basically they were dead.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the great tragedies that just haunts me. I never want to be there, but I'll tell you, I have to stay away from people that are there.
Yes.
Because they will pull me down.
Yes.
And they will cause me to say, well, maybe I ought to just dumb down here. And, you know, in fact, one time I thought, I tried so many things that didn't work, and I thought, you know, maybe I ought to be like the rest of the world. You know, come down, work my 40 hours, come home, dumb down on the weekends, watch television, watch sports, lay around.
Boy, a lot of people
that is
that.
Absolutely not in me. I mean, you want to really get me going, suggest that I try that. I wouldn't try that. I wouldn't buy into that lifestyle for anything. And I see people that are dead on their feet. And you look in their eyes, there's nobody home. The lights are not on. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be there. And I'll tell you, if you want to make something out of your life, you've got to be a dreamer. You've got to get that imagination going. But you can't do that if you're around a bunch of people that have no drive.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, Barbara, we have got to check out the people that we're running with.
Really do. And it's so important.
By the way, end of sermon.
Oh, that's very good.
That's good. That was a good one.
Because 1 Corinthians 15:33 is truly right. Bad company corrupts good morals. You have good morals. You think you're strong enough that you can handle somebody who is running around in the wrong crowd. You do not have the strength. You don't. And especially if there is a group of people, you cannot walk in there on your own and expect to influence them godly, in a godly way. So remember that. Bad company corrupts good morals. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, this is not only for marriage. This is for business and everything that you do as a believer. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And Darren, time and time again on the radio, we hear people, when we ask them, is your partner a Christian? Is your, you know, is the one that you've got a contract with a believer? Well, I don't know. And that is so sad. That should be the first thing that we find out. I know the other day a man was suggested to you to go into a side business that you have. And you went up and talked to him and you found out that he was a Mason. And you said,
I'm not going to have anything to do with him. I was going to use him on a project that I'm working on, but...
Yes.
You know, I believe this, that Holy Spirit pulled that right out of him.
Yes, because he had been talking to you and everything sounded so good. And all of a sudden, he said something like, I'm really big in the Masons, or I'm really involved in the Masons.
And they're really good people.
And
they are good people. A lot of them are wonderful people. But you see, I know that if he has sold out to that organization, I don't want him working on my stuff.
That's right. We
and,
don't.
I mean, I cut the cord right then and there.
Well, and that's why Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership, any partnership that you're thinking about, for what partnership have right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness? You cannot mix a partnership with right living and right standing, if you are one of those, with a person who doesn't even respect God, who has iniquity and who is lawless.
Well, but Barbara, let me come back here. You know, we have to really watch partnerships. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, I carry that probably to the extreme. For example, if I'm in a project with somebody, I want to know they're going to do their half.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they expect me to do 95% of the work and they do 5% and they just enjoy being around me and that kind of stuff, as far as I'm concerned, they are an unbeliever in terms of what it takes to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing I so appreciate about you, and I really didn't know this before we got married, but you always pull your half. You always pull your share of the deal. And I appreciate that so much. In fact, sometimes you do more than that. And then you complain to me and you say, do you realize how much work I'm doing?
Yes,
and then
I do.
And I have to tell you, I don't want anything to change, Barbara. I like it just like it is.
Because I like rewards.
Yes, right.
So I have to remind you sometimes. Well, and I was thinking about that, Darren, that really iron sharpens iron here sometimes. And when you are with a person whom you respect mutually, you do some things that sharpens me, convicts me. Sometimes I have to be corrected. Sometimes when I get down or I get into self-pity, I need your strength to say, Barbara, what are you doing here? And the same way when you're down or when something's wrong, I appreciate the fact that you listen to me. You listen to me and you take my advice sometimes, even as a wife.
Yes.
And I'm all
at
done.
Great cost. but you know, I think this is what causes a lot of problems. In fact, I hear business people talk about this. You know, I had a partner one time, and he or she, they weren't doing their part.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then that thing's going to end up in the junk pile somewhere.
Well, they're not a partner, though.
No, they're not a partner.
You're pulling,
exactly.
You're like a yoke of oxen. You're pulling the load alongside.
And that's why I believe that you really need to look at partnerships, should you even be involved in